Christmas is a great time of year. You know, there's certain things that I like about Christmas, and instead of asking and people just yelling out what they like about Christmas, what I'm going to do is I'm going to offer suggestions, and if you like that part of Christmas, you can put up your hand. Okay? So I have to admit, you know, our fridge, our freezer is getting really, really full. So if you like the turkey and the trimmings and the cranberry sauce or the beef roast or the duck or whatever you do, if you like the Christmas meal, put your hand up. You know, that's a nice thing about Christmas. All right, so a lot of people like that, right? What comes after the Christmas meal? Before the Christmas nap. Okay, the Christmas desserts, right? The pies, the cookies, the candy cane, the bowls of candy, the chocolate, the more chocolate, and the more chocolate. Oh, the ice cream. The ice cream with Kit Kats, the ice cream with Lucky Charms, the ice cream with Nerds, the ice cream with Skittles in it, right? Who likes the sweet, the goodness part of Christmas? Okay, some people do. All right, okay, all right. Well, what about the work of Christmas? Christmas, what? Well, it takes a lot of work to get everything ready. I know there are some people who like to put in a lot of work, and the house has to be perfect. The table has to be set absolutely perfect. Up until I started volunteering at Pittsburgh, I would just sort of put the knives and forks there. It's like, yeah, it doesn't matter which side. I haven't been to Pittsburgh, and they have this nice little picture. It's like, oh, okay, I think I got this. And I know which way to set the table. But if you like the work of Christmas, getting everything ready, getting the tree ready, getting the presents underneath, you know, that's, you know, some people do like that, right? Putting the lights on the outside of the house, right? Come on. Put it up, Connor. Right? Okay, make sure that was done this year for us. Okay, all right, those are some good things. But what's maybe the best thing? Would you say these things here? Look at this. We have some of these things here. The presents or the gift. Put your hands up if you like the gifts and getting the gifts. All right. Okay. All right. I think I saw every hand up there, right? And, you know, the Bible talks about gifts. So that's what we're going to do. Duncan and I are going to share things. I'm going to go over some Old Testament scriptures where it talks about gifts. And, oh, hang on a second. I got ahead of myself. I forgot this was behind me, right? So what's under the Christmas trees?
Gifts.
Right? What are we going to talk about?
Gifts.
Gifts. All right, here we go. All right, there we go. Gifts. All right, okay. So I have here four different gifts that we read about in the Old Testament. And so we're going to have a bit of a sword drill here. And Duncan, what is our first verse for the sword drill? So Bible's up.
Ecclesiastes 3:13.
Ecclesiastes 3:13.
Charge.
Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor, it is the gift of God.
Okay, so
I'm challenging an alibi for having
an alibi. All right, so what was the gift?
The fruit of his labor.
Okay, all right. What did I say about one of the examples about getting ready for Christmas is work? So work is a gift from God. Right? Interesting, right? We think of work as like, oh my, I got to go to the office today. That should have been. There we go. That's sort of a. All right. Okay. Oh, hang on. Wait a minute. We need the O. All right, so work, yes. So amazingly enough, work is a gift from God. So Adam and Eve, right, they were in the garden, right? They didn't have anything to do except for what? They could do whatever they wanted. They couldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God gave them work to do. They had to look after the garden, and they also had to name all of the animals. work is a gift from God, and I really hope you like what you do at work, because that makes life so much easier. I have a great company that I work for. I like who I work for. The company, I have believers on my team, so that makes it real easy for when I go to work as well. So that is a gift from God that we read in the Bible is work. All right, Duncan, our next verse, please.
Bible's up. Ecclesiastes 3:13, charge.
Oh,
okay.
All right, Ecclesiastes 3:13. All right.
Moreover,
okay, all right, what is the other gift that's mentioned in there?
Gift to God.
God, that's eat and drink.
All right, so food. Food, right? We talked about Christmas, right? And all the lovely things that we get to eat, the turkey, the beef with Yorkshire pudding, the mashed potatoes, the cakes, the pies, the cookies, all the different fun types of ice cream, right? Food is a gift, right? And what do we do before we eat our meal? We thank God and for that gift. All right. Next verse, please, Duncan.
Bible's up. Don't worry, it's not in Ecclesiastes. Psalm 127, verse 3.
Psalm 127, verse 3.
Charge.
Behold, children are heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward.
Okay, so what is the gift mentioned there, please, Marcus?
Kids.
Kids. Right, children. Right, we have some children here, don't we? Right? We have two children over there. We have a few more children over here. We got old children here, more older and older children, right? Kids. Kids are a gift. Right, when people are expecting, we get all excited and we thank the Lord. When kids get adopted and come to a family, it's like, wow, this is great. This is a gift. All right. So kids are a gift, right? All right, Duncan, we've got one more here.
Bible's up. Proverbs 29, verse 17.
Proverbs 29, verse 17.
Charge.
Correct.
Discipline your children, and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire.
All right, very good. So, what's a gift that's mentioned there?
Spanking.
Yes! Okay, all right. Well, it doesn't say that the spankings are a gift, but the results are. All right. Okay, so yeah, when we're corrected or we're disciplined, right, that is a gift. And then that gift in form becomes a gift to the parents who unfortunately sometimes have to discipline us, right? And God disciplines us as well. So sometimes, you know, work, sometimes we don't think that that's really much of a gift, but it is. Discipline, you know, a father who loves his kids, chastens his kids. Disciplines their kids. So it is actually something, a gift mentioned in the Bible. You know, not only does the Bible give us examples of gifts, it also tells us that the amount of gift really isn't important. So what's our verse for that, Duncan?
Exodus chapter 35, verse 5, take ye from among you.
Sword drills were them.
All right, you want to do a sword drill?
Yeah.
Exodus 35, verse 5, charge!
Take therefore.
Take from among you a contribution to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze.
Okay, all right. So, right, if you were really wealthy back then, this is when they were building the temple, and you had a lot, you would bring gold. If you didn't have that much, you could bring silver. And if you really didn't have a lot, you could bring brass or bronze, a really cheap, inexpensive metal, right? So it didn't matter the amount of the gift, right? Another interesting part about this verse is it talks about whosoever is of a willing heart. So it doesn't really matter the amount. What really matters is the condition of the heart of the person giving. All right, our next two verses, please, Duncan.
Do we want to do sword throw?
Yeah, sword throw. They want some candy, yeah.
All right, swords up. Still Exodus 35. Both do, yeah. Exodus 35, verses 21 and 22. Charge.
And if you've already got a piece of rocket candy, let's let someone else have a chance.
Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle and meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry or gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Good
job, Adam. Very good. All right. Once again, both these verses talk about that when they gave of a willing heart. And once again, it also gave different examples of what they gave. Some of the things that they gave were physical things. Other things that the Lord blessed them when they were building the tabernacle, they gave of their time. And I know Anjali is going to be giving her time this week. She's going to be volunteering in Pittsburgh. So as a board of directors person on Pittsburgh, thank you very much for volunteering to help out there. Really do appreciate it. And Mark, do thank your wife as well for her going in every week. That is such a huge help. And I know Emily was tickled pink this week because she was able to work with Lisa as well. So thank you. So once again, it didn't matter about the amount of gift. What matters was the heart. And perhaps if you didn't have much to give, you could give your time. And men gave their time. They worked with the gold and the metal. Ladies worked with their time, and they worked on the garments and things like that for the priests. But what was important, what was their heart condition? Now, under the tree, right, do we have a present of work? Right? Do we have a present of obedience under there? No. Right? So those aren't things that we normally wrap up and give at Christmas time. When you look back, you can think, wow, that gift I really liked. That was a favorable gift. I really enjoyed that gift. We have another verse. This verse is going to go to the New Testament. So, Duncan, what is this verse?
Bible's up. 2 Corinthians 9:15.
2 Corinthians 9:15.
Charge.
Thanks be to God for his
indescribable. All right, very good. All right, so thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The AMP version says, now thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And they add, which is precious beyond words. I kind of like that. And then the AMPC translates it, now thanks be to God for his gift. Precious beyond telling, his indescribable, inexpressible, free gift. And for those of us who are here for the first meeting, we were talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can come here every single Sunday morning and remember him, and we can't do it. We can't describe how wonderful he is. He is precious beyond words. It's wonderful, it's free, and everything else. You know, I sort of talk about him, right? And I sort of, the next step is, right? Somebody said the best part of Christmas is Jesus, right? John 3:16, charge. Alright, okay, alright. For God so loved the world that he what?
He gave, right?
God gave Jesus as a gift, right? At Christmas time, we remember him. And so I'm going to ask Duncan now to talk about Jesus and why we celebrate Christmas at this time.
Thanks, Dad. So we've been talking an awful lot about gifts and Christmas, and one of the things I'm reminded of, because we live in America, is Santa Claus, specifically his list, the naughty and nice list. And, you know, God has something, too. God has a naughty and nice list, and you can read about it in Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, where it talks about the book of life. So now the question arises, I want to look at some of the differences. When you think about Santa Claus's list, you just have to be good enough. But on God's, it's different. On God's, everyone starts off on the naughty list. Here's why. Romans 3:23, not a sore jaw, I apologize. It reads, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Everyone has sinned. What is sin? Well, sin is anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law and makes him sad. Sin is playing a game of archery and missing every shot you take. It's making God sad. It's missing the mark. It's not being good enough. Everyone starts off on God's naughty list because we can't be good enough. So what happens when you're on the naughty list? Well, on Santa's, you just get a lump of coal instead of a present. You know, that stinks. You know, that's sad. But on God's, it's also different. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." If you're on God's naughty list, it's death. Because of sin, we die a physical death, but we also die a spiritual death, where when everyone has passed away and God is bringing his own into heaven to live with him in perfection for forever, everyone else who's on his naughty list is separated from him for eternity and goes to a place called hell. Now, that doesn't sound very fun, does it? So now the question arises, what can we do about it? To get on Santa's nice list, you just have to be good enough. Little Johnny, he was a bit of a brat, but, you know, he helped his mom do the dishes every time without complaining. You know, he's good enough, he can be on Santa's nice list. But that's not how it works with God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, but it is the gift of God." For the same reason that we are on God's naughty list, because we're sinners, we can't save ourselves, because we've already come short. However, that isn't the end of the story. We've been talking about gifts. And in two of the verses I have shared, it talks about them. In Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God." And Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Earlier, my dad spoke about John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Or another way of reading it is as such. God loved you so much that he gave you a gift, his son, who willingly sacrificed himself for you on the cross, so that if you believe in him, you don't have to be separated from God but can live with him for in heaven, in perfection, for eternity. God has offered you a gift. It's salvation. He offered you his son, his only son, who willingly sacrificed himself for you. So the question arises now, how do we accept that gift? The first thing to do is realize that we are on God's naughty list, that we have sinned, and we need saving. Then we have to ask God for forgiveness. We have to come before him and admit that we need saving. We have to accept his gift. We have to say that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to believe in what he's done for us. God has given you a beautiful and precious and indescribable free gift. Nothing that could ever compare to what rather, anything we find in the tree can never compare to it. Obedience, food, work, kids can never compare to that gift. So with that, I'll turn it over to my dad. And by that, I mean I'm going to go help him.
Oh, there he is. Okay. All right. So we've been going through Genesis, and as we go through Genesis, we get to Joseph, and we talk about Joseph and how Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus, and we can see very similarities between Joseph and his life and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, at Christmas time, right, God gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give gifts as well because we sort of want to be like God as well. And we love the people. Our heart, right, our condition of our heart shows what we do. So that's sort of why we give gifts at Christmas time. I'm just going to go ahead and close the meeting with a word of prayer. And because you are loved, everybody has a gift. So when I'm done praying, just stay, wait until your name is called, and then you can come up and get your present. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before your most holy and divine presence, we are so thankful that we can do this, that we have this access to come into heaven and to speak to you, all because of your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who you gave to us willingly. And we're so thankful for this Christmas time where we can remember when he came into this world, how he came into this world, and why he came into this world. We're so thankful that despite all the evil, all the sin, that he came knowing what he would go through. We're thankful that he just didn't remain a cute, adorable, helpless little baby, but that he grew up and he went to the cross to pay for our sins. Because we were all sinners. And because of that sin, we were condemned. And there was nothing that we could do to save ourselves. And so we needed a Savior. We needed someone to save us. We're so thankful that he came. We're thankful that it's a free gift. And that all that we need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be saved. You couldn't have made it any easier for us. We're so thankful for this. And we pray all these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.